Go find another job. Go find another church. Go, you know, what's he going to say? We had to deliver this person back to the world because that's where they were. We delivered them back to the world. Satan had some control, and you know what it did to them? Have you ever stopped to consider? They got back out there in the world and they started remembering when all those troubles come, when they didn't have that same group of people, when they didn't have brothers and sisters that loved them and cared about them. They got back out there in the world and they started saying, gosh, it was really good over there. And the day came that they came back into the congregation of saints and they stood up and they said, I can see today what my sin did and I was wrong. And they're members of the church today. And I praise His name. But who was saved? 1 Samuel says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Do you and I have a right to be in rebellion to the law of God? You have the right to make a choice to do so. Does the church have to support you in that choice? Should the church support you in that choice? How many of you support witchcraft among your children? Can you? Would you? No, we wouldn't even think about it. It's a danger to them. Can you support rebellion? Isn't it the same? Rebellion breeds rebellion. And pretty soon, the guys down there on the bottom are looking up there at the chief and saying, who do you think you are anyway? Does it work? Are we not subject to Jesus Christ? Yes, we are. There is no substitute for humility, brothers and sisters. None. Peter tells us why. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Can you be saved without grace? No, it's an absolute impossibility. None of us were good enough. And were it not for the grace of our Lord, His favor and His mercy, none of us would be saved. It is the very foundation of the plan of salvation. Grace. If you don't have His grace, you don't have salvation, folks. And you can't get His grace unless you're humble. Can't be, because God will resist you. Is it me? It's not about me. Never has been. It's about the owner. It's about the guy who made it all happen. It's the guy who set it up and said how it's supposed to work and proved that it works well. We had the proof. I showed it to you. It works perfectly when we do it right. When we do it consistently. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5. Another part, no one wants to talk about. We don't like it. It's mean. It's hard. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. He said, you don't always have a choice when you're out there in the world of who you're working with, do you? I don't always know who I'm working with. I get sent to a different place every day. I can't leave the world. I have to stay here until the Lord calls me. So he's not really talking about this to the church. He's talking about something else, and we find it in verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know, when you and I, some people say, well, this is the concept of shunning. No. That's not how I'm going to say it. Are there ever consequences? Are there some lessons that do not stick if there's no consequence? I tell my son, don't go play in the street. He goes and plays in the street. And I go and I say, no, I told you, don't go play in the street. He goes back and plays in the street. And I go get him again. I say, I told you, don't go play in the street. Is that going to work? What happens when that doesn't work? There's something that we need to know about discipline. And it's the same way with God. Its purpose is to correct the problem, but it's also progressive. Discipline gets progressive. If you want to take it up a notch, God will jump the step with you. Why? For your good. What does pure love demand? What does agapeo love? Our brother talked about three types last night. It's called charity, isn't it? When you look at the definition of charity, what do we read in there? We read, the charity suffers long, it's kind. There's a statement in there about charity. It says, it rejoiceth not in iniquity. Are you an enabler? Are you enabling people to sin? Are you enabling to say, it's okay, if you know, I know you got this problem, it's all right, you know, I'll still love you. Is that love? If the Lord, in another place in Scripture, says the people that are doing this cannot be saved in the kingdom of God, and I'm patting them on the back, telling them, hey, you're okay. It's all right. Oh, we still love you. You don't have to change anything. Well, no, they don't have to change, and we're still going to love them. But we don't rejoice in what they're doing. They've got to know. My son, when he's in trouble, and I need to up, when I need to progress in my discipline, so that I stick the point home, is it important that he knows I'm not pleased with him? Is that important? Would God ever get anywhere if we never knew he wasn't pleased? No. Understand the concept. It's not difficult to understand. Don't pass it by as though it has no value for us. It does. There are times when people that we love, in order, because we do love them, and we see they're in danger, if we have to step it up a notch, brothers and sisters, there's times we say, if you continue in this course, it will change our relationship. Because you are on a course that's going to take you away from the love of God and all He's offered. And it's going to change us. We can't do things the same way. It's not about hating. It's not about, I'm better than you. It's not about, oh, you're so bad and I'm so good. It's about the salvation of their soul, and it's about doing God's way. Discipline gets progressive to the point of expulsion. Isn't that what we've read? If the church members see there's a problem and they know that these kind of things, how many of you think that someone drinking around your kids wouldn't be a problem? Are they susceptible? Are we concerned? I hope so. We can't have it. What about if the drunkard comes in here and he's humble? And he stands up in our congregation and he says, pray for me. I'm having such a difficulty. Is that a different matter? It is, isn't it? It's absolutely different. That's workable. See, we can work with that. We never get to this step. Never gets there. But when he doesn't say that, or if someone that's hanging on to idols, how would you like them around your kids all the time? Is that what you want? Are we worried about our church? Are we worried about what we see? If we are, then we're going to have to start looking at what it really means. We can't keep playing games and throwing things off. This is a reality, what I've read. I've read it to you. I wanted you to see it for yourself. God is going to come and He is going to make us accountable. Are we doing it His way? Are we willing? Whose body is it? It's Christ. Is one member more important than the others? No. We have a perfect example in the Book of Mormon, don't we? What happened to Laban? What happened to him? He was killed, wasn't he? Why was he killed? Because one man, one person is not more important than the whole. That's what there was. Did God love Laban? You bet he did. You think he felt bad? You bet he did. One person, one member is not more important than the others. I'm going to close by reading on page 310 in the Book of Mormon. It's Alma chapter 2, it's verse 8. What happens to us, brothers and sisters, if we do nothing different? We're going to read it. We're also going to read what you and I are going to do what we are called to do and what we have been shown tonight. Chapter 2, verse 8. And it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of Judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linen, and because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained by their industry. And in all these things they were lifted up in the pride of their eyes, for they began to wear very costly apparel. Now this was the cause of much affliction to Alma, yea, and to many of the people which Alma had consecrated to be teachers and priests and elders over the church. Yea, many of them were sorely grieved for the wickedness which they saw had begun to be among their people. For they saw and beheld with great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and to set their hearts upon riches and upon the vain things of the world, that they began to be scornful one towards another, and they began to persecute those that did not believe according to Now I've got to find where I left off. 15? 16. Yea, there were envyings and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. And thus in the eighth year of the reign of Judges, the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church, and thus the church began to fail in its progress. How many of you think the Lord's going to stand put for that in our day? Is that what He restored the church for? To see it fail in its progress? To see it start leading away people that didn't even become members yet? You think He's going to allow it? It's not mine, it's His. He's not going to allow it. It came to pass in the commencement of the ninth year, Alma, seeing the wickedness of the church and seeing also that the example of the church began to lead those who were unbelievers on from one piece of iniquity to another, thus bringing on the destruction of the people. It goes all the way to our nation. When we fail what the Lord has placed here, if we fail, we're not only condemning ourselves, every one of us, we are bringing a condemnation on our nation. That's how bad it can be. I hope we're not there. But I hope we know that it could go there if we don't do our duty. Yea, seeing great inequality among the people, some lifting themselves up with their pride, despising others, turning their backs upon the needy and the naked, and those which were hungry, and those which were athirst, and those which were sick and afflicted. Yea, this was a great cause for lamentations among the people, while others were abasing themselves, succoring those who stood in need of their succor, such as imparting their substance to the poor and the needy, feeding the hungry, and suffering all manner of afflictions for Christ's sake, which should come according to the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to jump down to verse 26. Speaking of Alma, and this he did, he turned over the judgment seat, and this he did, that he might go forth among his people, or among the people of Nephi, that he might preach the word of God unto them, to stir them up in remembrance of their duty. We got to start somewhere, brothers and sisters. I hope tonight you've been stirred up in remembrance of your duty, that he might pull down by the word of God all the pride and craftiness and all the contentions which were among his people, seeing no way that he might reclaim them, save it were bearing down in pure testimony against them. Are you ready to be accountable? Do we want to keep complaining? Or do we want to start working? Are you ready to do your duty? Am I ready to do my duty? Brothers in the ministry, are you ready to do your duty? Are you ready to call down with pure testimony from the Word of God? Here's what we need to do, and make sure we do it. Well, I hope so. This is where we stand. This is where we stand. Don't look at things wrong. Look at them the right way. Understand the concepts. Don't reject them. Understand the purpose. Understand the need. It's been said over and over and over again. I believe that's my last one. Oh. Over and over again, we need to be humble. That's where we have to start. Starts with me. Starts with you. Starts with us doing our duty. We are going to be called into account. Is it just the ministry? No, he's going to get down to every one of you. Every single person of us. I want us to be able to account with joy. It's not beyond our reach, brothers and sisters. Problems aren't going away. Sins aren't going away. They were never designed to. Till the Lord comes and binds old Satan. They're going to be here. It's not about that. It's about what we're doing with it. It's about what we're doing together against it. God bless us. May He help us to stand in His grace. And let's do our duty. Thank you for your time.